God is good.
Amen.
How many here know that God is good?
All the time.
All the time. Mentioned 2021 and just declare that this is a prosperous year.
Yes.
I think you're like me. You got tired of hearing about 2020. It was so negative. People were speaking so much negativity about 2020. I would just, once it was over, I just went, whew. Forget that. But you know what? I don't have what they say.
Yeah. Yeah.
According to Mark 11:23-24, I have what I say. And I would come back with that. I don't have what you say. I have what I say. And God is good all the time. Hasn't God blessed your life?
Yes,
yes He has. Didn't He save you?
Yes.
Yes. Didn't He heal you? Didn't He deliver you? Didn't He baptize you in the Holy Ghost? Yes, He did. I think about that. When I think about the Lord, oh man.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I have a message. I have a statement to make before. I did bring some paper to help get a fire started. Sometimes it takes a little paper. I'll make this statement. One way to get close to God is to go in the same direction that He's going. That might sound simplistic, but sometimes we miss the simple and we let the devil confuse us. It's not confusing and it's not too hard to be a Christian. It is not too hard. The Bible says the way of the wicked is hard. You're not wicked. I'm not wicked. God is good. I am fired up today, though. And so let's go through a couple of pieces of paper. Well, let me give a title. The title of this message is, What Direction Are You Going? What direction are you going? How many know that it's possible to be seeking God one week and not so much seeking God the next week? It's possible. I didn't say you're doing that. But it is possible to have times when you're more on fire than other times. But I wanted to ask this question, what direction are you going, so that at the end of the service, after hearing the Word of God on this subject, that you and I would make a decision. I'm going to agree with God, and I'm going to set what God has set as priorities. Those are my priorities.
Yes.
What God has said, I'm going to grab myself by the nape of the neck and bring myself over to God's priorities. Say yes, Lord, and walk in obedience. Praise God. I believe you're doing that too. The Bible says, set your affections on things above. Some of the scriptures that I'm going to share are not going to be on the board there. They just come out. So, when we come to church, it's like going to a spiritual chiropractor. Every week, pastors will say something that gives me an adjustment. I was out of alignment. Not everything in my life was out of alignment, but what they said, at first it bothered me, because sometimes when you're getting adjusted and something's out of whack, ouch, that hurt real good. And so the pastors give a spiritual alignment so that you can walk straight.
Yeah.
Say amen, somebody. So, God is good. Another statement I want to read. This is from Dr. Michael L. Brown. Anybody here?
Yep.
Michael? Okay. This is the first time I've read anything of his. When your faith is 100% secure in the Lord, and you have put all your eggs in His basket, the latest headlines do not move you.
Amen.
Whatever they say. They may grieve you, or they may bless you, but they do not shake you or move you.
Yes.
God alone is our rock.
Yes.
Is he your rock?
Yes.
Praise God. He is my rock. Well, this is for later. What direction are you going? Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke, or just read the screen. Luke 11, 11 through 13. Luke 11, 11 through 13. This is an example of prayer. How many want your prayers answered?
Amen.
You know, the Bible says that all the promises of God have been made to us. And if you were to ask God, I'm paraphrasing now, if you were to ask God, that promise you made to me, if I pray and ask for that, what is your answer? The Bible tells us the answer is yes.
Yes.
And this verse sort of says that. We just want to look at it together. Verse 11 of Luke 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Verse 13, if you then being evil, you could say being human, if you then being a human being, know how to give good gifts to your children. How many know how to give good gifts
Amen.
To your children?
Yes.
How much more? Oh, I just want to shout that. How much more?
Yes.
How much more will your Heavenly Father, shall your Heavenly Father, we talked about earthly fathers, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?
Yes.
Some translations say right there, give good things to those who ask. I kind of like the word Holy Spirit there. Because in one sense you could say, well, yeah, that's obvious.
Yes.
If we're coming to the Father God and we're asking Him for His Holy Spirit, of course the answer is yes. He wants that same attitude to come from us concerning other things that we ask for, because He promised it. He said that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us.
Yes.
And if we know that He hears us, that's the key. And if we know that He hears us in whatsoever we ask, we know that we have already obtained.
Yes.
Oh, praise God. And that's our stance. That's the rock that we stand on. We say, Lord, I came to you with your word, and I asked according to what you promised. I'm walking with you. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, because it's not as simplistic in one sense, in that in our humanness, there is a battle that takes place week to week or day to day. There is a spiritual battle that is also a battle with the mind and a battle with our flesh that's going on all the time. It's ongoing. And that's why I entitled it, What Direction Are You Going? And we're going to start off with some verses that talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh in Galatians. But let's not get ahead of ourselves here. I said the answer yes from God in regards to your prayer request is connected to what your heart, everybody say heart, is connected to what your heart is seeking. What your heart is seeking. And sometimes we just have to be honest with ourselves. I remember preparing a message on soul winning. And one thing that came to me is I had to admit to God and to myself, first to myself and really then to God, because it was Him and His Spirit that exposed to me, I didn't really want to go out and win souls. Because I had had an experience where I used to go out with a brother in the Lord, and we'd go down to Hennepin Avenue. We would take the biggest Bible we could find. I remember taking what I thought was the Dakes Anointed Bible. You know what I'm talking about? Don't go there. It's not anointed. It is anointed. But that isn't what it is. It's the Dakes Annotated. Annotated. In other words, there's a lot of notes. There's a lot of notes there. And I even got to a place where I was reading, believing, and acting on the notes more than I was the Holy Scriptures, the Bible itself. But I would take that big old Bible, and my brother would, my friend in the Lord would take his, and we would go down Hennepin Avenue, because that's where the sinners are. Some people, that's where the sinners are. Yeah. And we would, and I tell you what, there's something about downtown when you'd get a homeless person and you'd corner him. He's got nowhere to go. You got him in a corner. He's hungry. Some of those people have prayed so many times to receive Jesus. They have. Some of them, they have prayed over and over and over. Okay, I'll pray with you. But I wanted another notch in my big old Bible. And so we'd corner and we would witness, and they would, we'd make them pray with us, and they would pray with us. And, you know, only God sees the heart. So some of them really got saved. Some of them were already saved, but they were praying with me again. But that experience got locked into my head, is that's what soul winning is. And you know what? That's not true. That's a false statement. In fact, that is so limited. That is soul winning, but that's not the only kind of soul winning. And so I got that locked in my head, and so I fought it because I was tired of doing that. And I fought it and fought it, and I fought soul winning. When a soul winning message would come up, a defense would be set up within me. And I found out later that there are all kinds, there are many creative ways to win souls. One of them is with relationships. Could be on your job. When you're working, you're interacting with people, an opportunity would arise. Maybe you're on your lunch break and someone says something to you and you seize the opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. Maybe you don't pray with them at that time, but it's a seed. It's a seed time and harvest that's going on. And there's many other different ways to sow in, but I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about what direction are we going? And I said that the answer yes comes, and you'll get a quicker answer to prayer, you'll have more power in prayer if we'll ask according to what He wants to get done. Let's spend some time in prayer and find out what the Holy Spirit wants us even to pray. The Holy Spirit will lead us in prayer, won't He? He will lead us while we're praying. And we'll have our agenda. There's nothing wrong with that. He said, if you have anxiety about anything, take it to God and pray. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, by prayer, supplication, all the different kinds of prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But there's something really special about waiting on God, praising God, giving thanks. That's prayer. Worshiping God. Just taking the time to exalt God and to declare that, God, You are almighty. God, You are all powerful. You are all wise. And you know, You are the only true God. And to exalt Him And His Spirit will take a hold with your spirit, and they'll come rising up those things that the Holy Ghost wants to pray about. And so we do. I said in life there are battles. There's a lifelong battle to determine the salvation or condemnation of your spirit, soul, and body. The Apostle Paul talks about the battle before he was saved in Romans chapter 7. And then gives us a more detailed list, not about unsaved people, but about saved people in Galatians. So let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'll try not to go over time. Because the Vikings, you know, the Vikings game, right? Is it some of you are really anxious about? No? Oh, they aren't? Oh. Did they play this year? Uh-oh. Pastor Dwayne's going to talk to me about never alienate your audience when you speak. Do not make enemies of your audience. Oh, boy. Everybody say back to the Word.
Back to the Word.
Yeah, we're doing so good with the Word. Galatians chapter 5, we'll start with verses 16 and 17. It says, "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit." This is the Amplified. "Responsive to and controlled by and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of the human nature without God." So it begins to tell us here the answer to a lot of our problems. The flesh is pulling us one direction, and he says, walk guided and controlled by the Spirit. By the Spirit. Again, seems simple. God keeps it simple so we can all figure it out. Verse 17. "For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh." So there's that struggle, isn't there? "For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do." So as long as we're on this planet, as long as we're in these bodies, there's going to be that struggle and that battle, that conflict. And so, I have more to read here. I put some notes away, they weren't done yet. Okay. I'm here to tell you that we are not in this battle alone.
Amen.
When we were sinners, without Christ in this world, you and I were the best sinners there could be. Because it was your nature. It was my nature. I did it naturally. I didn't even have any other thoughts. I had never heard about the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God, Jesus. Yet I went to a religious school. I went to a Catholic school growing up. And I'm sure they talked about Jesus. But I never knew that they never told me that Jesus Christ wanted to come into me as his temple, live with me, and give me victory over that pulling of my own flesh, giving me victory of that which came natural to me as a sinner. Now that we're born again, everybody say born again.
Born again.
Now that we're born again, we are ruined for sinning. We make terrible sinners. We make terrible. If you try to be a sinner, your conscience is going to hound you. And the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. And by the grace of God, He'll send a member of the body of Christ to talk to you, maybe confront you. But I'll tell you what, they'll just say hi and love you, and you'll think they're trying to judge you because your own conscience is condemning you. But the truth is, we are ruined for sinning. And now, naturally, because we're new creatures in Christ, we naturally walk after the Spirit. I want to read a little bit from Galatians 5:19. We'll just continue. Read 16, 17. We'll go with 19 through 26. It talks about the flesh, and then it talks about the Spirit. But remember, this message is to Christians. So when we read the sins of the flesh, it's to Christians. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. And this is the New Living Translation. It says, and other sins like these. You say, well, Pastor Mike, why are you talking about sin in church? Well, we focus on Jesus Christ, the answer. Amen. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. I'm so glad He did it for us. I couldn't do it for myself. Amen. I was too weak in my own flesh. The Spirit was willing, but my flesh was weak. And Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 7. But now that we're born again, our spirit is willing, and we can choose. That's why I entitled this, What Direction Are You Going? We can choose to say no to these sins of the flesh. And it says, and other sins like these, just in case you read all of those and said, check, not doing it, check, not doing it, check, not doing it, and you feel pretty good about yourself, it says, and other sins like these. That's what it says. And so, God is so good. He has set us free. Let me tell you again, it says, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes the church worldwide, but certain factions of the church will pick out one sin out of this list. They'll pick out one thing, let's say homosexuality. And it certainly is a sin. But they'll make signs, you're going to hell, and go out and push those signs in the face of people who are by nature in that sin. You know that they can't get out of that by themselves? They can't get out of that by themselves. They need the Word of God. They need the Holy Spirit power. Amen? And let me tell you something else those people need. They need the body of Christ. They need the body of Christ, the love in the body of Christ. And I just want to insert this right here at this time. God's people are the best people on the face of the earth. Don't let anybody tell you how bad Christians are. I just want to tell you, God lives in you. And I know since we've been coming to this church, we have seen God in you, Judy and I. We have seen God in you. We fellowship with coffee or whatever, and we talk to you, and we embrace one another, and we see God. The Bible says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart. That's God's people. That's God's people. Let's get in touch with our spirit man. Let's get in touch with our spirit man. But God's people are the most wonderful people. And you and I all know some that, you know, are not as wonderful as others. But really, they are. They're just troubled and they need ministry. And they need uplifting. And they need help. And if the Lord uses you to bring correction, they need correction. And such was some of us. Amen? All of us. You know, as you see, Lazarus was raised from the dead. I mean, Lazarus had a problem. Anybody have that problem yet? He was dead. He was dead. He could do nothing for himself. But when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he came out of that grave, the Bible says, wrapped in grave clothes. Wrapped in clothes. So people are saved. We don't have to say, well, they're not saved. Well, they may very well be saved. They may very well be a Christian. But they're still bound. They're wrapped in grave clothes. They're alive inside, but outside they're all wrapped up and tied up. Wrapped up, tied up. And God calls you and I, the body of Christ, to do what Jesus said after that. He rose him from the dead and he said to his disciples, loose him. He didn't loose him. He rose him from the dead, but he didn't loose him. He said to us,
come on.
Loose him. And let him go free. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's our job. That's what happened to us when we came to this church. It took almost a full year. Almost a full year. The things we have been through, I'm not going to get into that. But we needed ministry. And we didn't walk around saying, I need ministry, I need ministry. We just looked to God. And I tell you, this congregation unwrapped us. Whew, just like a spin top. And now I'm just spinning. That's what happened. I was all wound up and y'all did it. It's y'all's fault. And you took that and you spun us out. Judy's spinning in the children's church right now. Yeah, although she's not as spinny as me. That's why God put us together. We balance each other. Okay, so now that we talked about the sins of the flesh, let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen, because Galatians tells us about both, but the decision is ours. Verse 22. This is Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. That other list that we read. Crucified. What Jesus dealt with the sin nature. Say amen. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. You know, one of the things that's happening as I'm speaking is that God is stirring up our spirit, our calling, our gifting. You know, we mentioned Nava, you know, doing that thing with the... I said to Judy, isn't that beautiful seeing those pictures behind... And then she's just smiling back there. But I wouldn't have been able to do that. I would. That's not what I'm called to do. I'm all thumbs when it comes to that kind of thing. The singing, the praise and worship, and the music today. I had the lyrics of one of my favorite songs, if not my favorite, The Goodness of God. That song that you do here, and I've seen it on YouTube, The Goodness of God. And so this morning I had those lyrics out, and I started to sing that song because I was thinking about it, how they did it on YouTube, how they did it at church. I can do that. And so I said, I love you, Lord. And Judy was sitting over there. And, you know, your love and mercy. And all of a sudden, I noticed it did not sound like YouTube. And it did not, nor did it belong on YouTube, even if I could figure out how to put it on YouTube. And the way the worship team did it, you know, I can do that. It's, you know, when they're doing that song, I'm singing loud because I think I sing like them. I don't. I do not sing like them. And I thought that this morning, I said, wow, they are really gifted. And they are walking in their gift. And that's walking after the Spirit. What has the Lord shown you to do? When we had let go of our church in Savage and came over here, there was a temptation before us. There was a temptation. Everybody say temptation. And that is to say, well, we must be done. We must be done. And that was a temptation. And I was saying, well, I was thinking about going to a mega church and just shop around a little bit and then land in one of the mega churches and just sit in a pew. Don't talk to many people. You know, maybe come in a little late and leave a little early. And just praise God. Just be a God praiser. And you know what Pastor Sean, where is Pastor Sean? Is he teaching the youth? Doing his gift, one of them. Pastor Sean said, you mean backslide. I did not mean that. I did not mean backslide. He was right, but it bothered me when he said that. I didn't let him know it bothered me. But it bothered me. He said it at the Tuesday morning. You mean backslide? No, I didn't mean that. But that's exactly what it would be. That's exactly what it would be. Coasting? You can only coast so long and you run out of coast. Isn't it true? Even if you get a big start down a hill, you run out of coast. How many have ever run out of gas? How many have ever had to walk to a gas station? Buy one of those red containers. Don't want to spend too much on the container, so I'll get a 1 gallon, because that'll get me where? Back to the gas station. So you take the one container and you pour it in. But then what do you got to do? You got to go back to the gas station. You know, sometimes we're running out of gas, and we need to acknowledge that. You know, AA doesn't have everything wrong. One of the things they have right is the first step is to acknowledge. Yes, it is. The first step is to acknowledge. Acknowledge that it's me. It's my fault. I take responsibility. I'm in the wrong. And that's what we need to do on a regular basis with God. We need to reestablish the direction that we're going. We need to do a checkup and say, am I still going the direction that the Lord showed me to go? If not, I'm going backwards. But the good news is, God is married to the backslider. This church, and I have 6 things written down, so maybe they'll have me back. all the nice things said today, it could be. But God is married to the backslider. One of the ministries of this church, and I said I wrote down six things, so I'll just say all six instead of giving verses for all of them. You know how it is when you study. And thank goodness we have a church where the preachers and teachers have more scriptures than they have time. Yes. Don't ever let that bother you when pastor's page after page, and he's saying, I could say all these things, but we'll be here till tonight. And, you know, I'm thankful for that. This is not a dead church. This is a living and active church. Praise God. We follow the book of Acts as our example. And we listen to the epistles that was presented to the body of Christ, the church of the living God, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Glory to God, He gave gifts unto men that we might be taught, that we might be brought and taught. Oh, praise God. Praise God. And raised up into maturity, unto maturity. Praise God, you're in that kind of church. We're not backsliders. Amen. Glory to God. We're not backsliders. We're front sliders. Hallelujah. We're forward movers. Glory be to God. And so those six things I'll say real quick. And the reason I'm saying this is these are six things that God said He's looking for. Six things that God said He's looking for. And we need to line ourselves up with His priorities. And you'll see your prayers answered more quickly and more specifically. You'll be walking hand in hand with God. How can two walk together except they agree? How can two walk together except they agree? Number one thing that God is looking for. Souls and disciples. I put them together because it's the same person. You win a soul and you disciple a soul. Souls and disciples. He's looking for that. And we could go into all these verses. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He is still doing that. You know, Jesus did not stop ministry when He rose from the dead. There is a present day ministry of Jesus Christ. That's right. Jesus Christ is still ministering. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Number one, souls and disciples. He's looking for them. Number two, He's looking for fellowship. He's looking for fellowship. And we could go into that. You know, He's the father of the family in heaven and earth. How when Adam and Eve sinned, He came to the garden looking for them. And He provided the answer in Jesus Christ, prophesied, spoke it out in the garden. Number three, God is looking for pure hearts. God is looking for pure hearts. And that word pure, it says in the King James, God is looking in 2 Chronicles 16:9, it said He's looking for perfect hearts. Hearts that are perfect. And that threw me off. The King James kind of threw me off there. Perfect. Whenever it comes to perfect, I get a little... because that's not exactly where I operate. Okay? Perfect. Better go to number four. He's looking for perfect. Well, that word perfect means dedicated, loyal, and I already said pure. We can have a pure heart. We can have a pure heart. God will show us where we're not pure. But that's kind of why sometimes we avoid drawing near to Him. That's why sometimes we avoid personal prayer time. Is because I know that when I get to that place of just Him and I, that the Holy Spirit's going to show some things. And I'm going to have to be honest. I'm not going to be able to fool God. And so all of a sudden I'm praying, and then I say, yeah, that was really wrong, wasn't it? You didn't even say anything, did you, Lord? But you did. And I'm busted. Okay, so number one, souls. Number two, fellowship. Number three, pure hearts. He's looking for that. Number four, John 4:20 says he's looking for true worshipers. For such the Father, everybody say the Father. For such the Father seeketh. He seeks true worshipers. Just think, if you say, Father, I volunteer for that. I'm a worshiper. From now on, I'm a praiser and I'm a worshiper. I'm just that for the rest of my life. Amen. Quality decision. And I did want to get into some things about that too. But again, we'll say these six things. For such the Father seeketh true worshipers. Number five, he's looking for faith. Now, all of these things we can give him. Let's think about what he's looking for. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, I'll just throw this in. A lot of these things our liberal friends are doing, the far left and liberalism, is they're establishing their own righteousness. They're establishing their... Judy, my wife, said to me, just today, we're talking about our masks. We're putting a mask on. We have to wear them in our building, condo building. And we're putting them on. And I said, isn't this just like, shut up. That's what it felt like. Putting that on, just like, I'll tell you about you. They're happy about that. Yeah. Hey, do you know? But yet, and she said, somebody at her work at the airport, a person that's above her in the management thing, and they came into their meeting they had on Wednesday, and he was furious. I mean, he was shaking, he said, because he saw one of the employees without a mask. Can you imagine all the things that go on in the airport and airlines? This is what the big boss is angry and shaken about? Tell him to put a mask on and move on. What's the problem here? Are you shaking? We got other things to do. Amen? Okay, well, that was free. He's looking for souls. He's looking for fellowship. He's looking for pure hearts. He's looking for true worshipers. And I said, he's looking for faith. He said, when he returns, will he find faith? And so I'm saying to God, because the Bible says, hast thou faith, have it between you and God. So what I'm saying to God is, look no further. I'll believe you.
Yes.
I'll believe you. Well, what about this? What about that? What about this? That's just a reason you need to be kind of stubborn about it, but maybe there's a better word, tenacious about your faith, and say, no, the Word of God promises this. Lord, I believe you. As far as I'm concerned, it's just like what you're concerned about. You wrote it in your word. I'm standing on it. Praise God. He's looking for faith. Look no further. That should be our attitude. And we get on his radar with faith. Faith puts us on his radar. The last one of the six is he's looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit. And I know in my personal life, so I'm just telling on myself a few times here, I guess, today. But in my personal life, I know when I'm not producing fruit. And it's you know too, when I'm not producing fruit. He knows too. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Let that be and listen. Okay. Lord, help me. Let's all stand up. Let's stand up. Are you done? You promise? Oh, yeah. I do have more, but I'm not. It's not time to do that. So let's get back to our original question. I said stand up. I didn't say I'm done. So you shake and stretch, and then it all goes down your legs, and you got room. Hallelujah. But we said, what direction are you going? And in all of this today is to say what direction God is going. But you and I have to decide, I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. I don't really care as much anymore about Democrats and Republicans. I'm not going to worry about it. I'll be engaged and all of that kind of thing, but I'm not going to worry about it because he said have no anxiety about anything. And I'm going to focus, set my affections on things above, heavenly minded. Hopefully I'm earthly good because I'm heavenly minded. But I'm going to go where he's going. I'm going with God. Back in the day, Jesus movement time, we used to sing this song, I have decided to follow Jesus. We didn't know much about the word or anything, but we knew about Jesus, and we knew he lived inside of us by his Holy Spirit. And so we would sing these songs over and over and over and over. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, should be our attitude. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Still I will follow. There was other verses, but you get the idea. And that's the way we should be every week, every day. Just grab ourselves by the nape of the neck and say, no, you have decided, you have made a quality decision to follow Jesus for the rest of your life. And these things we've talked about are the things of God. And every week when we come here, if it's Pastor Mary or Pastor Duane, Pastor Sean, we hear the Word of God. That's another stirring up. That's another bit of nutrition and food, spiritual food, by which we can follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Amen? So make that decision today. You say, well, I already decided that. I put more gas in my car. We talked about that. And then in a few days, I put some more in my car. Imagine that. And the same with physical food. We just got to eat some more. Had a steak last week. Might have another one this week. Amen. And so it is. Let's just lift our hands in an expression of praise and worship, lifting our hands as an expression of full surrender. Just whisper or say to God, I have decided.